Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. Joining me today is my co-host, Wesley. Wesley, how are you?
Great, man.
Had an interesting signing day, I guess is the way to put it. We ended up getting, two out of the five that we were looking for? And Harold Perkins and Jalen Davis Robinson. Perkins, number one linebacker, really in the country, and Davis Robinson's a cornerback. Missed out on Jacoby Matthews, Gervonta Citizen, and there was one other whose name I can't think of right now. I mean, happy to get Perkins and Robinson. I think with Citizen and Matthews, it recruiting right now is becoming more and more NIL based, meaning whoever's going to get the best offer, the best deal is really going to land a player. It's not even about the school anymore or really coaching. It's about who can give them the most money up front. So the landscape is definitely changing in college football. And when you have a school like LSU who is paying their basketball, women's basketball coach $2 million is just hired. They just paid off Ed Ogeron $17 million. You're paying your new coach $100 million. You can't keep on going to the well to these same people asking them for money. The well's going to dry eventually. We don't have oil money like Texas A&M does. So they're basically going to outbid us at some point. And that seems to be happening. And I see a lot of Jimbo Fisher and even Nick Saban. It's not because of NIL. That's not why they're coming here. We're not really paying them. But it's a bunch of horse shit. Like, A&M has the number one recruiting class in the country.
In the history of college football.
Yeah, it ain't because College Station is a great place to be. Because if you've ever fucking been to College Station, it's a dump. Like, it's not the greatest place in the world. It's nowhere near, I think, Baton Rouge caliber. I mean, you look at the campus, everything is just flat. It's just there. It looks like nothing. There's no trees. It's just, you can't tell me that you go from having, and I saw it the other day. I'm trying to find the, in 2018, A&M had 0 5 stars. In 2019, they had two. In 2020, they had two. In 2021, they had 1 5 star. Then NIL is introduced, and now they get 7 5 stars players. Like, you really think that's not because of NIL?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't hate on the College Station campus so much. I've spent a lot of time down there with different things over the years. And I think that the LSU campus itself is amazing, but you do have to leave the campus if you're going to live in Baton Rouge for 4 years. I mean, I wouldn't say College Station is that bad. Obviously, that's not, I don't think, the entire thing that these players are choosing on.
Right. They're not going there.
And I think it is a big deal. I mean, what I was saying, Texas A&M has the top recruiting class in the history of college football recruiting, not just for this year, the number one ranked class ever, which is pretty significant. And they've got quite a bit of competition. I think what they benefited from this year, and I don't know about the NIL stuff, what they benefited a bunch this year was the news of Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12, and they're kind of in a limbo. So a lot of players are not going to go there because those schools are kind of in limbo between Big 12 and SEC. And then Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Let Texas A&M get a ton of the Texas class that they normally would, or in a bigger slice than they normally would, because Texas and OU are just hurt this year. And I just think that normally there's those, the recruits that went to A&M this year divide pretty evenly between those three schools. And that just didn't happen this year. A&M completely dominated it.
And I mean, I know for sure that Jacoby Matthews ended up going there because of NIL money. Like he got an offer from LSU. A&M beat that offer. LSU came back and got some more money. And then A&M came back and got even more money. So I in that specific example, I know that it's NIL. And it's almost like recruiting classes aren't, I mean, they're going to rank them and you're going to get so many this stars and that stars. But with the way the transfer portal is even now, are you even going to keep them? Like, even if you're paying them this money, these kids are going to want to be on the field playing. If they're not playing, they're going to go somewhere where they can't. The NIL money might get them initially, but eventually it's going to come down to them playing and them winning games. And if they're not doing it, they're going to leave. Bottom line. And that goes for LSU too, right? I mean, I'm not trying to say that LSU isn't paying people NIL money. They are. They absolutely are. Everybody is. But to keep these kids on campus, they're going to have to win and they're going to have to get them playing time.
I just like, so I think it's real easy, and I've caught myself doing this too. It's real easy to get into how many players from the top 10 of the state of Louisiana we lost and how many we didn't get on National Signing Day, and kind of have a negative feeling because that's the last thing that happened was National Signing Day. This is a program that's gone 11-11 the last 2 years and basically turned over the entire coaching staff just in the last couple of months, including our head coach. We finished sixth in the recruiting class, which I can't even imagine coming up with a scenario that would match that. I don't think it's, I mean, there's no way a team has gone 500 2 years in a row and then turned around with a top 10 class while turning over their entire staff.
Oh, I agree 100%. Brian Kelly's only been on campus for a couple months, you know.
And then we've got other coaches that have been on that haven't even been on campus yet. There's other coaches we have hired that have not been to LSU yet because they're still finishing out things at their other job. There was some that he got hired. The guy got hired last week and started making phone calls. And they're saying he hadn't even been to Baton Rouge as of National Signing Day, which is the whole thing's pretty incredible. So I think there's a lot to like, and there's things to be upset about. And I understand some 18-year-old just seeing that there's a kind of a history of failure the last 2 years and then tons of turnover and not knowing what to expect. Where we're at is, I think, better than with the best case scenario. I couldn't imagine it actually being, you know, better at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. They did a tremendous job getting the players, not just only from the recruiting class, but also from the transfer portal. And I believe that six ranking includes the transfer portal. And they've done a tremendous job with that. And it almost seems like it's kind of like the NFL, right? The draft is sometimes not as important as free agency. And sometimes it is more important than free agency. Like it's going to kind of rotate back and forth depending on who's coming out and who's available.
Right.
So it's very much structured like the NFL. I'm wondering if at some point they're going to have to come in and start putting some rules on NIL, but until then it's kind of the Wild West, you know?
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous that there can be a contract signed that pays a player money, but then that player doesn't have to make any commitment whatsoever to the program and to being in the same city as that business or anything like that. At some point there has to be a contract. Here's the money, but you need to stay.
Yeah. From what I've heard from the A&M contracts that they signed was that they have to be on campus or in school for 60 days before they get any money. They have the, and then the money is spread out. So like if they get, it's spread out per semester. So if they get like 80,000 in a year, they'll get 40 one semester and 40 the next semester. So they're not giving it all to them in one lump sum. They're spreading it out to make sure that they stay there to try to maximize their.
I'm meaning their more money. The commitment that a business might say, hey, there's the star that we want to build around the next 3 years. And they're not thinking about, I care about giving this guy 80,000 a year. They're thinking about, I want this guy for 3 years to give him $240,000, and then what we're going to build over 3 years. And then the guy leaves 1 year into it. Well, they're only, I mean, business plans work out longer than that. So I'm hoping there can be something that that remedies that, or the way the transfer portal can change, at least after this year. This year, I've transfer portal everybody.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you know, you might see some lawsuits that come out of this where if a player does sign like a long-term NIL deal with a company, because let's make it obvious, let's make it clear for everyone who's listening. LSU isn't paying these players NIL money. These are businesses that are investing in the players and in giving them money in exchange for them sponsoring their products or repping their products. So let's say that up front. But let's say a player, I don't know how their contracts are structured, but let's say a company says, look, here's a contract for 3 years. You know, I'll give you X amount of money. If they leave and go to another school, they're, I guess, technically breaking that contract.
Right.
Could they get sued for that? You know, they might get sued for the money that they gave them. They might get, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, and it might stop players from transferring as much too.
For sure.
The
one that hurt was Danny Lewis. We need a tight end desperately bad.
Oh, that was the other one. Yeah, that was the other one. He ended up going to Alabama.
And that hurts him going to Alabama. The fact that, I mean, everybody thought he was going to LSU, especially after the dance video that got 8 million hits with him, right, and Brian Kelly. That's the one. I mean, even Matthews, like, I can kind of cover it up because we're okay at safety. And, you know, a couple of the other guys that we missed, the wide receiver we missed from Texas, that, I mean, wasn't really that big of a deal. But Lewis, it hurt a lot to not get that tight end. We need him.
Right. I agree. I want to shift gears into basketball real quick, into men's basketball.
Yikes.
Yeah. So I think last episode you asked if we were in a slump or if we were just bad. I'm starting to lean more towards that. Maybe we're just bad.
It's not in my nature to say I told you so.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
It is. There was a few things that I watched over the last couple of weeks. And I've said from the beginning, you definitely watched more of the LSU men's team than I have this year. But things I was watching, even games they won, I was like, I'm questioning like what this team is. It's just got a lot of hype really, really fast behind them.
Yeah. And they're not shooting well at all.
No.
I mean, they go down the floor. There really doesn't seem to be any kind of offensive scheme at all. And they're chunking the ball up. And even when they're going to the hole, I don't know what's happened. I don't know if they're afraid of getting charging calls or something, but they go so soft to the hole. And that's what she said. And they're not finishing. They're not finishing their layups. They are. It's horrible. And I don't know how they fix it. I really don't. Is it fixable? Maybe. Maybe they are in a slump and maybe they'll get hot at some point. They had a very bad loss to Ole Miss.
I mean, and the TCU game was terrible.
That was bad as well.
I mean, the final score in these games ends up looking closer than
closer, right?
You watch the game and you're thinking like, oh, they got blown out by 15 or 20. And then, I mean, they end up losing by 4 or 6 in these games. The games are much uglier than that. There's some talent there as far as individual people. They do not look like they play like a team at all.
Yeah. And it almost looks like they are like arguing with each other. You know, they're getting off to very slow starts in these games. And I think that has a lot to do with it, too. They get behind so far and then you have to come back. And it's just they're 4-5 in the SEC, 16-6 overall. They're right now the number 25 team in the country. I don't know that they will remain.
They
that
will not after. Stay there. No,
yeah. We play Vanderbilt tomorrow, the 5th at 5:00 on SEC Network. And then Texas A&M on the 8th at 6:00. If we lose to Vanderbilt.
My Lord.
Yeah. Just wrap it up because they got to do something to fix this quick. The women seem to be rolling along. They had 2 losses against Florida and Arkansas. I came back and won against Kentucky.
Arkansas played the best game they've ever played.
They did. They really did.
Bonkers.
Yeah. They beat Kentucky 78-69. They play on the 7th versus Ole Miss at 6 on the SEC Network. So they are 18-4 overall. They're currently third in the SEC with a 6-3 record. Still better than I think last, definitely better than last year, and better probably than most people expected this year.
For sure.
Going back to Memphis for a second, that you mentioned about shooting, that Ole Miss team was shooting like crazy. Like they were hitting threes left. I think they hit, 7 or 8 threes in the first half, and LSU averages giving up 7 threes a game. So that can just tell you. And it almost seems like their defense, LSU's defense, isn't playing as well as they have been. It seems like they're not on the same page. They're not playing together as a team. I don't know. Real quick, LSU gymnastics went on the road and defeated Georgia last Friday. They play Auburn, or they have a meet against Auburn tonight in the PMAC. They're trying to get it sold out. So if you're in the Baton Rouge area, go check the girls out and cheer them on. I'm actually taking my daughters to the Alabama meet in a couple weeks, so that should be interesting. Anyway, any final thoughts, Wes? We're doing a quick show today, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're still going to get some more stuff out of LSU football in the next even couple of days. There are more people entering the transfer portal every day, including a big cornerback out of Ohio State just entered the transfer portal. Banks, I believe his name is. There was one of the Alabama running backs has entered the transfer portal too. And I mean, we know how these young guys had probably nothing he'd like to do more than play against Alabama. So I think there'll be a couple of more things coming up with them. And we're going to get to some March Madness pretty soon. I think the women's team, the losses were probably actually the right time for them to have a couple of losses, kind of get a reality check, because I believe they still can play with anybody in the country. And the men's team, like, I don't even know where they're at for the SEC tournament and all of their even, I think they've got a losing record in the SEC now.
Yeah.
It's rough. Ready for baseball season though.
Yes. I was about to say 14 days from the day we're recording for baseball season. So definitely looking forward to that. And I forgot to mention that on the football side, we had talked about Caleb Williams. He did end up going to USC following his coach from Oklahoma to USC, which was kind of,
we need to be committed to Miles Brennan, hoping that he's healthy, and then leading into Nussmeier and Walker Howard fighting it out next year with the Manning son.
And if you haven't seen Miles Brennan's walk-ons video on Twitter, go check it out. It's pretty funny.
LSU is going to need – the LSU dance team is not ranked in the top 10 nationally. Let's just go ahead and put that out there. There's some dance problems at LSU.
Yeah, the Tiger Girls won number one in hip-hop. Maybe they need to go teach these football players and coaches how to dance.
For sure.
Something's going on. I don't know. Anyway, that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network. We only subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Don't Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, and of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCAST, at Don't Patrol UK, and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. If you want to participate in game day chats, we'll be chatting during the Super Bowl. Go Joe Burrow. DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Don't Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can always go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Bayou Bengals and the Super Bowl donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. stand right up.